Okay, Jansen, it's not even 7:30 in the morning and you've woken me up. What the hell is going on?
Well, you were the person that I needed to unpack this with.
Yeah.
I had an epiphany this morning, and it is the culmination of a journey that I've been on for about 9 years.
Okay.
And my first thought after this kind of hit me was that the eclipse really did do something,
Right.
because a lot of people, have been in the lead up to our April 8th eclipse, which was April 9th in Australia yesterday.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of talk about what the eclipse means and how it's going to change the vibration and up-level humanity and blah, blah, blah. And I've been kind of curious about that because there was supposed to be sort of a mass ascension in 2012 that I think one or two, either religious groups or people that stood out as religious leaders back then, in the lead up to that, were ridiculed boisterously for having been preaching or warning, whatever the case may be, that there was going to be this ascension. This was this. What is what? There's another word for ascension. What am I trying to think of? Do you know the one in
Well,
2012?
oh, look, it's the Mayan calendar 2012 shift that everyone was absolutely going on about or going off about. I do, just to insert some humor into here, this, I mean, this is my sense of Irish humor. My father, who didn't believe in anything like this, that was the day I buried him. It was his funeral that day. And I was thinking, this is really funny. I hope he gets the humor of this.
Because they stick around until their funerals, apparently.
Oh, yeah. And there was so much activity going on when he died. But that's another podcast, okay? That's a completely another story.
Well,
But.
it's sort of along the lines of what I was going to talk about in terms that in on that particular day in 2012, and I don't remember
Yes.
what day. You could look it up. I'm sure it's easy to find on the internet. I was driving back from spending a week with my sister-in-law in Newcastle, where I was helping out because she had injured her Achilles tendon. And I was trying to juggle sort of work at the time. I was still working in television on a particularly problematic, it was a project that executives had come on to that didn't really understand the type of project we were doing, et cetera. And they were in Canada, so they wanted to have a meeting in the middle of the night. And it was exhausting because of that. Also frustrating. You
Yeah.
have to kind of grin and bear it, even though you're just thinking, what idiots. And the next day, as I was driving home and I had been stress eating lots of junk and stuff, I was just having this feeling of, I'm done. Like, not, really super dark, but just frustrated and angry. And I just thought, actually, yeah. So I just thought to myself, as I was coming over the Hawkesbury River, that the big bridge and that
The
kind of
big bridge.
area,
Yeah.
I would so often, I guess, I go into some kind of altered state when I go through that. I don't know if there's a vortex there or what it is, but I had this sudden inspiration to just say to a higher power, okay, I've had fun with this clay. Thanks for letting me sort of have a play. I now ask, can you please take over and shape my life, shape what I do?
This is back in 2012.
Yes, this was in
Yes.
2012. On the day,
Yeah,
on
on
the
the day.
particular day where that this one preacher or whatever in America was saying that masses of people would be levitated up to the heavens, like not, we've all died, but like a rapture. That's what it was. That's the word. It was going to be a rapture.
The word is rapture. It's that fabulous tarot card where everyone, where the gravestones have, you know, lifted and
Exactly. And I actually experienced a rapture, like not in any kind of metaphysical kind of, you know, I didn't have an out-of-body experience or anything, but I felt this joy just kind of rush through my body. I basically felt like the thing that I had said, which was take over, was... I felt like it was, the message kind of was happy to take over. Thanks a lot. And shortly after that, I left my television career behind and started on the track to becoming an EFT practitioner.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
So it was, and so I remember the next day when all over the news was ridicule of this particular high profile minister, that he had, you were wrong. And I thought to myself, no, he wasn't wrong. It's just that it wasn't this big sci-fi experience that everybody was, or that even he possibly was expecting. It might have been more personal. And I just thought, I certainly had a rapture yesterday, you know? In my own way, there was a spiritual shift, and I didn't know at the time. Looking back on it now, I see that it was literally, materially, in terms of what would happen in my life, my life's purpose, the thing that I did for a living, how I showed up in the world, everything. So I thought, yeah, I'm going to hear stories about other people having similar experiences. And I did. Over the next few years, you would hear about people having had epiphanies, revelations, sudden flashes of insight, understanding on that day. So a lot of times what is being put forth as being sort of a big collective sci-fi experience, like a whole bunch of it, we're all going to rise up past the skyscrapers towards this beam of light in the sky. That's just a metaphor for the much more personal thing that happens. And so that had been on my mind with all of the talk in the lead up to the eclipse. People talking about how there's going to be a shift, there's going to be a raising of the vibration all over the earth, and we're going to kind of go to the next level, and so on. And I was curious to see how is that going to happen, and will it happen? Because on the other hand, you know, it's the moon going in front of the sun, you know, it's kind of like, I don't know, 20 minutes of dead of night in the middle of a sunny day. Yeah. And zoo animals all start kind of going back to their night enclosures, and the nighttime animals wake up, and the frogs start croaking, and all these kinds of things start happening. So it's weird, but would it be profound was the question. About a week ago, I saw an Instagram post, some guy, I don't even know who it was, and it looked like it was recorded maybe 20, 30 years ago. And it was some kind of spiritual teacher maybe, but he looked like a professor talking in his office at a university. But he was saying, try this thing, try for the next month, everything that you do, do it from the perspective of an infinite awareness, looking into this world, having this experience as a human. He said, do all the normal human things, but just do it with the perspective of your infinite self looking into the world. 1 month, do it. He said, just don't do it from time to time. Do it as often as, like, do it throughout your days, and so on. So I set my remindfulness app to the setting where it's just my own reminders. And I put that statement, that reminder in there.
Yeah.
So I've been doing it consistently for about a week. And it's interesting. And I've been sort of thinking, oh, I wonder how this is going to, I'm definitely curious. It's something I've never done before. And I like it. So we'll see. So this morning, I woke up at about 5:30 in the morning, and I just didn't feel like getting out of bed. I just thought, I'm just going to think. And I immediately remembered, I'm going to think, but I'm going to think from my higher self, having the experience of having a human incarnation as a way to kind of look into the world. And I've been thinking about metaphors to describe that and to help me tune into that feeling over the last week, experimenting with different ones to help me make that perspective shift. And about 9 years ago, so 2015, the end of 2015, I watched Anita Morjani's TED Talk, Dying to Be Me.
That really, really lifted your toupee off your head. Not that you wear a toupee. I mean, I just was.
He quickly adds.
That was the image. It's like, whoo, your hair just like, whoa. Yep.
Well, and for anybody and for anybody not familiar with it, Anita Morjani basically had a near-death experience. Well, she actually had a death experience because all her organs shut down and she went into flatline from extreme cancer tumors all over her body and had this experience of this perspective shift that I've been trying to practice, which is the perspective shift of my infinite awareness, my higher consciousness. And she had that experience and gained a bunch of insight from it, and then realized she was going to come back into her body, come back into her life. Her cancer would be cured. And it was, I think it was 10 days later or something, all her tumors were gone, and she left the hospital and has been talking about the learning ever since. And so what she learned was three main things. And this isn't necessarily in order, because this revelation just happened this morning, so I haven't had the time to do any research and go, what's the order that those came in? But one of them was to love yourself. And as she's listing these things at the end of her talk, I'm thinking, yep, check. I do love myself. I do have self-love.
Yeah.
Another one is don't forget to laugh. Laughter is incredibly important. It's one of the highest spiritual things you can do. And again, check. Yeah. Yep. I've spent most of my life laughing, and I agree. I feel going to a very high state. And when I had that experience in a meditation several years ago of kind of that one mind consciousness, laughter was so present, the sense of just mirth at how enormous all of this was in comparison to, or the other way around, how small and humorously pathetic our words love and joy and gratitude are in terms of describing something that is just so overwhelmingly everything.
Huge. Yeah. Earth is a great word too, by the way.
Thank you. As I just said it, I was thinking, I haven't used that word before to describe it.
No,
I've always kind of reached a little bit and never gotten there. And
I think the last time you used that word was in the 1600s, but anyway, go on.
But I knew when I heard Anita Morjani said it, yep, it's true, definitely. Number two, tick. She had said there were five. So number three was you have to be yourself, be your authentic self. Don't try to be anyone else. And you come here to be who you are. The world needs who you are, and you have to do that. And that old thing of no one else is going to do it. If you're not going to be yourself, there's no one else for the job. Tick, that's third. Definitely stepping into that. And the fourth one was, what was the fourth one? It was, I'll have to look it up later and maybe I'll Google it. Do you know what the fourth one was?
No, I
Just
don't
laugh,
remember.
be yourself, love yourself. What else was it? Anyway, it was another one that ticked easy, easy. I was like, oh, I already know all of those spiritual laws. And then she said the final one. Dun, dun, dun. The final one was life is a gift.
Yeah. Okay.
I could not tick that box. I didn't have a bad life at all. I'd just broken up from a relationship. So it wasn't my ideal because I like being partnered. And suddenly I was alone, in my house. And well, and the thing is, I struggled because, I'm alone in my nice house. I have a nice house. I have nice friends. I do a thing that I love for a living. And I'm very fortunate in lots of ways, really good health and all that kind of stuff. And yet I did not understand how is life a gift? I'm not sure because when things are going great, it's probably easier to, like when you have everything you want, when you don't have this big kind of glaring sense of lack in one area of your life, it's a lot easier. Maybe from that point in time, I just could only guess, but easier to think of life as a gift. But then when I imagined, okay, let me dial back a year to when, I was still in the relationship and everything's going fine. So I had all the other good things and I have the partnership. And I thought, I still don't get it how life is a gift. There was just something. And I started to kind of worry a little bit because I thought, I don't want to get to the end of my life and then suddenly realize that life is a gift. Like if life is a gift, I want to know now. I want to experience it as a gift. One of the things that you do when you have a gift is you feel grateful for the gift, right? And I thought, I'm going to be missing out on a whole lot of gratitude I could be feeling that I would ha be feeling if I had the awareness through my life that life was a gift. Every day you wake up going, life is a gift. And I just thought, that's such a sunny concept, but I don't feel it. I'm not resonating. I don't understand it. So I've been working on that for 9 years. And I've made lots and lots of progress. And I'm working on a book right now talking about that journey. And I've certainly had lots of insights come to me. I've done lots of meditations where I sort of put it out there. This is what I want to know. And I get all these amazing insights and downloads. But that last little question, how is life a gift, has never fully been answered until this morning.
And thus the
That phone call, I waited until 6:30 in the morning to call you.
phone
I was like, I
call. And
have
then
to talk about this to Steve.
I said, I need tea, I need a shower, I gotta get my curlers in out or whatever, what my curlers, their curlers were doing. Goodness me.
So, and I hope this doesn't come across like a huge anticlimax after that whole big buildup to the listeners and to you. But it's huge for me. I suddenly understood that life is not a gift to our egoic selves because, and it can never be. Because that's what I was reaching for. My ego wanted to know how is life a gift?
It's
And
like, where's the wrapping paper and the ribbon? Come on.
guess what? My body and my mind are the wrapping paper and the river and the ribbon. Because the gift of life is something that it's only a gift to your soul. Your
Goodness, man. Now,
soul.
okay, I'm now gone. I've got all good. I'm getting double gooseies. So I usually get goosebumps up my right arm. Okay, that's my musical. That's if I know I've done something beautiful musically, right? But I've just got full body, up legs and both arms, cooties. Okay.
Our human mind, our egoic mind, is always in touch with the struggles, the darkness that contrasts the light. There's always a downside, no matter how good something is. And science tells us that we have this, what is it? Is it the negativity bias or something like that? That I think research has shown that when something really good happens to you, you can kind of feel the gratitude and the resonance for it and everything for about 2 weeks. When something bad happens, you can resonate with it your whole entire day.
A lot, yeah.
It seems unfair, but that's an evolutionary adaptation kind of bias. It's the good thing. It's like, yeah, party, party. Okay, now let's get back to the daily. Let's start focusing on the things we have to worry about, because that's the only way to avoid them. And so life is never, to our egoic mind, life is never a gift, because we are the gift.
Yeah. The egoic mind is going, well, number one, what's in it for me? And is this gift, oh, this gift, you know? Oh, it's better than everyone else's.
That's right. You know, and you can always see somebody else who has like a better life in any given moment. So it's like, well, wait a second. I have present envy. That person had got a better gift than me.
Yeah.
But to the soul, this was Amita Murjani's perspective. When she left her dying, cancer-ridden body, she suddenly transitioned into the perspective of the higher self. That suddenly, and she was aware that that period of time in a human body, experiencing a human life, is a deliciously juicy gift for the soul. When the soul enters life in a human body, it is a gift, because the soul wants to enter the body, wants to have that experience of the human life, because of the opportunity that it presents.
For the soul.
No matter how messed up your life is, it's a gift for the soul, because the soul is gaining and benefiting from the experience that
double gooseies. Up from my feet out the top of my head. Okay, this is better than her coffee in the morning. Okay.
And
wow. Okay, love it.
Mystery solved, and it makes sense now. And now, and what's so cool is it's not just an intellectual sort of experience for me. It's I have a way forward to every single day appreciate life as a gift. If I step into the perspective of my higher self, of my soul, I can value the experience I'm having, no matter how unpleasant it may be in the moment, no matter how much suffering there may be in the moment, because the conditions aren't ideal.
Exactly. And now, yeah, sorry, go. Yes,
go ahead.
It immediately puts you into soul talk.
Exactly. And in the last week that I have been sort of trying to refocus my perspective, my point of view, to shift into this perspective of this, my mindfulness app will go on when I'm in the middle of a client session. My mindfulness app notification with the ones you created, those beautiful sound effects that you created of the notification tone for mindfulness. I have them set to basically random to all of them, so I get to hear a variety of them throughout the day. I can be in the middle of brushing my teeth. I can be driving my car and listening to a song. I can be sorting through a cupboard, It doesn't matter what I'm doing, how ordinary or how enjoyable. When that remindfulness goes off, I think to myself, there's a part of my brain where I just do this quick readjustment of shifting my focus so that I'm not in my body as this limited perspective of who I am is Naomi sitting here in front of the computer with a client on the Zoom screen doing a session. I shift my perspective so that I am infinite awareness, experiencing this being able to work with a client through this avatar, Naomi.
That's it. Yeah. And it is, it's an instant. Because it's so true. It's like, just then when you said it, I could feel my whole day looking through soul lens versus old scrimpy old ego lens.
Yeah, because ego lens complains all the time. Oh, this is
It's
me exactly the way I
always
want.
complaining.
It's always going, this is amazing. It could be a little bit better.
Yeah, and, oh yeah, this is okay, but
So, in summary, the eclipse did provide me with a spiritual boost. I think my vibration did go up. My guess would be that this a similar type of experience has rippled through humanity. I wouldn't be surprised. I would expect that I'm going to start hearing stories from people who have had personal shifts in this way. I mean, look, maybe it's a coincidence that this happened at the end, the day after on the heels of this big eclipse. I mean, I like the idea of it being connected to the eclipse because that suggests that lots and lots of people all over the world had similar personal, important level up experiences of their own, which that's why I like the idea that it's linked to the eclipse. Although if it isn't linked to the eclipse, I'm just happy that I had the experience that I was able to kind of shift into understanding ultimately, because it's going to make the rest of my life better, no matter what happens, no matter what's going on in the world, no matter what's going on in my life, no matter whether conditions are lining up to my preference, I will be able to access the perspective of my soul having this experience and feeling grateful for this experience of a human life.
Exactly. Love it. So
So
thank
thanks.
you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I no longer look like I'm still asleep. You've woken me up, and that's a really bloody great way to start the day. Thank you so much.
Thank you for being available and so quickly. Because when I called you and you said, oh my God, I'm not even fully awake. Hold on a second. Let me find my glasses, my teacup. I'm trying to, and then I said, nope, go finish waking up. And you were like, okay. And I'm thinking of everything I have to do. And then you said, how about half an hour from now? And I thought, oh, there you go. Perfect. Perfect. I guess a part of me wanted to make sure I didn't lose the train. So talking about it, sharing it with you, sharing it with anybody listening has
It's
helped.
beautiful. And and just to reiterate the distinction, which the idea, life is a gift, life is a gift. It's like, yeah, but I got a mortgage and I got this and I got sciatica and I it's like, but
And all of
it's
that
a
stuff
gift.
that you're describing, that to the ego, it's like, hang on, it's not a gift. It's got all this darkness and negativity. And to the higher self, it's like, oh, it's delicious. It's contrast. It's adventure. And most of all, it's an opportunity to practice creating from love rather than fear in every minute of your day to
Exactly.
get better at it. which is what I believe, which is why I believe we're here, why we do these human lives.
Well, I think it's as well as, it's just an unfinished sentence. Life is a gift for the soul.
Yes.
And then you can work with that.
Yes. And okay. You know, I've noticed all week that as when I step into this higher perspective, sometimes the remindfulness notification sounds when I'm in the middle of a thought about something that's challenging. And when I shift into that higher mind perspective, all of the struggle, all of the suffering that's in that challenge or that challenging situation, it's like suddenly seen from space. You know, it just looks like, oh, that's kind of interesting and unimportant. And I suddenly understood why when people have NDEs, they talk about their NDEs, that they're up above their body, they're looking down on this kind of broken body that's on the operating table or whatever, and they have no emotion, feel no connection to that body. Total detachment. And I was thinking, and I had that experience when I woke up in the middle of the night, and I was the field of awareness that my body was lying inside it. I was fascinated to perceive my body from outside of it, and to perceive that it was living meat. The words, like what occurred to me is, oh my God, it's living meat. And I've never encountered living meat in my entire life, because anytime we encounter meat, it's dead. It's on your barbecue. It's long since dead. You know, it's protein. But to perceive living meat. And then I've just been wondering, so life is a gift, but my soul sees my body as living meat. What the hell? And then that kind of came to suddenly realize, no, your soul sees your body as the vehicle that it needs to experience this human life. The soul needs the body to experience human life. But once that life is over, it doesn't think about the body again. It's like that rental car, no matter how nice that rental car is when you're, you know, in Italy, and how much you appreciate the speed, and it's just a fun car to drive, and it's easy to park, and it's kind of different because it's a model we don't have in Australia, whatever. It doesn't matter. When you drop that off at the airport, you don't think about that car again. Like,
no, you fucking don't, do you?
No.
Oh, it's like because I hired a car for the first. I hired a car for the first time in ages when I was up in Queensland, and I was thinking, oh, you know, is there scratches? Is there, you know, have I left? You know, blah. And they go, drop it off. And I'm standing, I put the keys to the lady, and I'm standing there. She goes, that's it. I'm going, oh, anything else I need to do? And, no, that's it. Fine. You're done. You know. And I'm right. But, you know. And I walked away.
Yeah.
Bought my plane. And that's the first time I've fucking thought about the car in the last, for the last, you know, that was 2 months ago or something, you know, 6 weeks
ago. That's right. And you appreciated the car, and you cared for it, and you cared. You wanted to make sure it didn't get scratched and dinged and get into any rings or anything. But then you don't give it another thought because it has served its purpose. You have moved on from the experience that car was a vital part of.
It's really outrageous. It's really outrageous. It's actually very comforting, to be honest.
Yeah. And all of the little issues and problems, and you know, like like if I want to perturb myself, the easiest way is to entertain the thought of, you know, my person never coming along, never having that partnership that I just would so love to have. If I want to perturb myself, if I want to make myself suffer, I entertain that thought. Well, when I shift up into higher mind and look down on my life as this sort of delicious gift with contrast, that it gives me opportunities to continuously choose, choose, choose. And as the Course in Miracles says, choose again. Suddenly, I don't care whether I end up with a partner or not, because suddenly my life just seems like a blip. It's just very short. It just seems like it goes by in a blip. So who cares if you're a little bit uncomfortable for 30 years or 40 years? Who cares? You know, it's just kind of like, yeah, whatever. The most important thing is, what are you doing in every moment to try to create, to try to get better and better at creating from the light rather than suffering, fear? And that perspective shift is, it's sincere. It's not an intellectual thought. It physically, experientially feels when I shift into that, like all the cockpit lights just power down and go, oh, it's fine. And it's really this, whatever happens, happens. And it's that thing people talking about, the art is the art of not minding what happens.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think some great sages were asked, you know, what's the secret to a happy life? And the person said, maybe it was Yogananda, I'm not sure, said, I don't mind what happens.
Well, when you look at it from the perspective we have today, that's absolutely right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's spot on.
But it doesn't take away the importance of the human life.
No.
Because that's what I was struggling with. How do you not mind what happens and still feel like life is a gift? That's been the struggle for 9 years. I just could not reconcile those two thoughts happening at the same time.
Well, brilliant. Welcome back. Welcome to the gift, Jansen. It is
Thank
absolutely
you.
Beautiful. And what a great way to start my day. I'm going to work it all day. Great.
Thank you for giving me a chance to unpack it so quickly after, while it's so fresh.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you so much. That's wonderful.
All right. We will talk again soon.
Brilliant.